Welcome to the Weekly Insight Podcast, where we break down the noise of the week and help you understand the psychology of the markets with your host, Andrew Doerr at Insight Wealth Group.
Good morning. Welcome to the latest edition of the Weekly Insight Podcast. My name is Andrew Doerr. As usual, I am your host this week. We're going to get into an interesting discussion of what's going on in the markets, what happened last week, what we anticipate happening in the coming weeks. But before we do that, I want to do what I do every week, which is remind you that what you're about to hear today should not be construed as individual investment advice. This is a discussion about some of the things we feel are driving the markets and some of the things we're paying attention to as it relates to portfolio management. But it is not specifically designed for individuals to make decisions in their portfolios. We would encourage you to discuss the information you're hearing today with your financial advisor, or if you'd like to come have a discussion with us about it. We're always interested in meeting new people and would love to have a conversation. So with that out of the way, let's talk about what's going on in the world. It's been a drama-filled year, hasn't it? It's been a drama-filled 2 years. You know, going back to March of 2020, interestingly enough, we're almost exactly 2 years from just after the bottom of the COVID collapse in the market when the market was down 35%. And it seems like week after week after week, we keep getting new drama that we have to address in portfolios that we have to address for the economy. And, you know, this podcast really is an outshoot from our weekly insight memos. And those weekly insight memos started in mid-February 2020 when we said, you know, we ought to get something to our clients about what we're seeing here with regards to this new virus called COVID. And we wrote our first one. And then by the next week, there was a lot more to discuss. And we said, we better put something out again. And that kept going on. And it's been going on now for 100 and some odd weeks that we've been sending weekly memos to our clients discussing what's going on in the world. And part of the reason we've been able to do that is because there's been no shortage of things to talk about. Interestingly enough, though, this week, there wasn't that much drama. It was a good thing. We got through the Fed news last week. The war in Ukraine, there certainly is ongoing and tragic and disgusting, really. Vlad, we're still hating on you. And there are some new things to be concerned about with regards to the latest variant of COVID, and we're going to discuss that this week. But all in all, the market was up last week, a little over percent, and it was a pretty boring week. That's not going to last. We're not that lucky around here. But when there is an opportunity to take a step back and not have to address the panic scenario, I think it's a good time to start looking at some of the issues, the broader issues that we should be paying attention to that may impact portfolios going forward. So we're going to do that this week. It's going to be a little bit of a grab bag of issues that we as a firm are paying attention to. We're going to stay away from predictions here because we are certainly not crystal ball owning guys, but there are some things to watch as we head into Q2 that I think are going to have value going forward. First, let's start on the latest COVID thing. Currently calling it Omicron BA2, the latest variant of the Omicron virus. You've probably most recently heard it referred to as stealth COVID. It's called stealth COVID for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's a little harder to detect with standard tests, but also it's really less, shall we say, virulent. You know, I saw an article earlier this week that said how to tell if you're dealing with allergies or with stealth COVID. Well, that seems like a pretty good problem to me. If it feels like allergies, I think we can muster through that. But BA2 has now become the dominant strain of COVID throughout the world. It makes up, according to the WHO, about 86% of cases reported to the agency. Per the CDC, BA2 is not exactly the dominant strain here in the U.S. It's still BA1 or the original Omicron, but about one-third of cases are currently being tied here in the United States to the new variant. The question for us is, will this new strain impact the economy in the way that the original COVID infection did, in the way the Delta strain did, in the way original Omicron did? In each of these surges, we've experienced economic activity that has slowed, restrictions on everything from going outside without a mask to travel to being able to open your business. All of those things have impacted the economy. All of those things have impacted businesses and the stock market. Actually, we're going to talk a little bit about Q1 earnings, but it's very easy to forget with everything that's been happening this quarter that Omicron's economic effects actually happened in this quarter. They happened in January, largely, and into February. So we want to understand, is BA2 going to be that for us again? Are we going to have to worry about that? Well, one of the things we can look at, for whatever reason, each one of these surges has really kind of rippled across the world. And Europe has been a very good diagnostic for us in terms of what's coming next. And Europe is seeing a surge in cases right now from BA2. That surge is certainly not nearly as extreme as what they saw with Omicron. And the latest data would suggest that they've seen this surge and it's kind of actually started to turn downward again in terms of new cases. So we hope that remains true. But, you know, COVID's been a politicized mess. We all know that. But I think you know about me and about our firm at this point that we like math. You can't politicize math. So let's look at a couple of facts. Fact number one, COVID vaccination is effective at preventing severe disease from BA2. The CDC says that. It's the same as Omicron. The vaccination may not be as good at keeping you from getting the disease, but it is very good at keeping you from getting severe disease, the type of disease that puts you in the hospital or, sadly, causes your death. Number two, previous Omicron infection is extremely effective at preventing reinfection from BA2. It's also effective at preventing severe disease and death, per the CDC. So what do we know? Here in the United States, 217 million Americans are fully vaccinated. Of our people over the age of 5, that's probably close to 75% of the population. Also, we discussed earlier this year a formula for trying to understand how many people really had Omicron. And what you'll recall is that we essentially said, you take the number of reported cases, you multiply that times 4, and that probably gets you pretty close to a low-end figure of how many people have Omicron. If you do that number today, from the end of the year until today, we have about 110 million Americans that have been infected by Omicron. Now, there's no way for us to know the data on how many of those 110 million were also vaccinated, but it is safe to say that, simply put, there is a ton of immunity out there right now against BA2. So Dr. Anthony Fauci last week was asked about whether or not there would be another surge of COVID due to BA2. And I think that what I just discussed led to his statement that he said, quote, "There will likely be an uptick in US cases this spring, but hopefully we won't see a surge. I don't think we will," end quote. We'll see. History tells us, though, that he may be right. Past surges that have started in Europe that have then popped up in the United States have happened pretty quickly. That hasn't happened here yet. The 7-day positive test rate hasn't improved in the last week, but it is at its lowest point that we've seen since prior to the Delta variant. We're currently sitting at around 30,000 cases a day on the 7-day. Knowing what we know, that there's already a third of positive cases are BA2 variant, we would have expected a pretty significant spike by now like we've seen in Europe, and we haven't seen that. So, are we right? I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm probably wrong. We can also look logically at the data and we can look logically at the history. And right now the history would tell us BA2 is something to watch. We continue to need to be careful about COVID, but I think we might be okay on this one. And anytime we can avoid the economic strain that we've seen from the other surges, that's certainly beneficial. So that's good news. Another big issue to watch, anytime we come to the end of the month, anytime we come to the end of a quarter, as we are today, we are sitting here in a period where we're looking at coming forward and getting some really substantive economic data. So there's always a lot of assumptions and hope or fear when it comes to this data, but actually getting the data, being able to understand what happened in the previous quarter, allows us to set a mentality in the market that can last over the next several weeks and several months as we go through the quarter. We're going to start getting some of that data on Friday. So I would anticipate next week's memo, next week's podcast, you're going to hear us talk a lot about this. But what are some of the things that you should be watching this week, especially on Friday when this data comes out? Couple of big ones. Number one, the March payroll and unemployment data will be coming out. We're also going to see the manufacturing PMI data. The expectation right now on the jobs data is that we're going to add about 475,000 jobs. Now, you may recall that last month in February, we had a huge jobs number. We added 678,000 jobs, and that was a number that absolutely was not expected, was not anticipated in the jobs report. So 475,000 is a lot less than 678. 678 was a very big home run, so I don't think we should expect that, but anything close to 475,000 jobs would be a very good figure. Manufacturing PMI, the expectation from economists right now is that number will be flat. I think it's worth a discussion of how manufacturing PMI is calculated. 50 is the base level. 50 means that we are not growing our manufacturing or shrinking our manufacturing. Anything above 50 means we're growing. Anything below 50 means we're shrinking. Anytime we see that number rise, that means we are both growing and growing at a faster rate. Anytime we see that number fall, that means we're losing pace. Okay, so last month that number was 58.6. That's a very good number for PMI, manufacturing PMI. The expectation from economists right now is that that number will be 58.6 again this month. That essentially means we're growing and the rate of growth is remaining flat. I think that would be a very positive thing, especially considering all of the drama on Ukraine, all of the drama on inflation. If we could do that, that would be good. If that number rises from 58.6, that's fantastic news. If that number falls a little bit, it's not going to be a big deal. If that number falls a lot and gets into the low 50s, that's something we're going to have to pay a lot more attention to. Then we wait to the following week. We're going to start getting the service sector PMI data. And then we start waiting later in the month to get inflation data, GDP data, et cetera. We will pay attention to those numbers as we get closer. But those are some of the things we're going to be watching as we get into the month. And right about the time that that inflation data, that GDP data hits, is when we're really going to be getting into the heart of earnings season. And earnings season is our favorite season at Insight. It's my favorite because that's when we actually get to see the real numbers. We get to see how companies are actually doing at weathering the storm that is our economy. And so while there's been all this talk about all these crazy things, in the end, what really matters to the stock market is our companies making money. Earnings matter. Right? I mean, we spend a lot of time in this world talking about really exciting companies that have great prospects and opportunities that they're going to invent the next great thing. But oftentimes, those aren't even companies with earnings. You know, Tesla, as an example, we've talked about it before, amazing company, much respect to Elon Musk. In terms of earnings, they don't have much. We like companies that make money. And so being able to look at that data and being able to understand what it's going to mean is probably, in our opinion, one of the best indicators for what we can expect from the market. And so while we don't have earnings data right now, what we can look at is what the analyst expectations for earnings are. So before we do that, let's talk about where we sit for earnings today. We talk a lot about the price-to-earnings ratio, and just so everyone understands what that means, the price-to-earnings ratio is how much investors are willing to pay for $1 of earnings per share for a company. So if a company has $1 of earnings per share and the PE ratio is 10, they're willing to pay $10 for that earnings or for that dollar of earnings. If the PE ratio is 90, like it is with Tesla, they're willing to pay $90 of share price for that $1 of earnings. Historically, for the last 10 years, the average PE ratio has been about 16.8. That's very similar to the long-term historical average, which is about 16.5. Today, we're sitting at about 19.5 times earnings. Pricey? Yes. Unquestionably, a little bit pricey, but much lower than what we've seen. If you go back to about a year ago, we were printing earnings at about 25 times earnings for the PE ratio. So that number has regressed substantially. It's regressed for two reasons. Number one, I think the biggest reason is earnings have gone up. There's been more earnings per share in the vast majority of publicly traded companies. But number two, as we've seen in the last 3 months, we have seen the market retreat a little bit. So anytime the market comes down, we're going to see the PE ratio of the market come down as well. What do we expect for earnings in Q2? Right now, one of the resources we go to, we love the data from a group called FactSet. And FactSet kind of summarizes what the rest of the world of analysts are saying. And right now they're saying that analysts are anticipating the broader market's earning growth to be about 4.8% year over year for Q1. That is down from the beginning of the quarter when analysts on 12/31 were estimating about 5.7%. Interestingly enough, this is also the lowest estimate since Q4 2020 when we were at 3.8. Negative revisions seem bad, right? When analysts start the quarter saying 5.7 and by the end of the quarter they're saying 4.8, that seems like bad news, right? Well, yes and no. If you go back to before we were doing this podcast and look at some of our weekly insight memos, we wrote about this extensively. And one of the things that was happening last year that was so strange was that analysts were actually moving their estimates upward during the quarter. That isn't normal. Before the post-COVID boom, that was nearly unheard of. Analysts tended to be more optimistic on the front end of the quarter, and as more information came in throughout the quarter, would bring their estimates more in line with reality. We'll also note that the economic impact of Omicron happened in Q1. That's undoubtedly impacted earnings. Massive Russian sanctions have happened in Q1, undoubtedly affected earnings and inflation. And so to still be here at 4.8% earnings growth, I would argue is actually a pretty positive story. The bigger issue though, and I think this is probably the thing that's more important, is analysts are still estimating north of 9% earnings growth over the calendar year 2022. Right now that number is 9.4%. Now, you know, I'm happy to get greedy when it comes to the stock market. We certainly want to see more and more and more growth. But if you go back, and we put a chart in the Weekly Insight memo this week, if you go back all the way back to 2012, and this data again is from FactSet, you saw earnings growth year over year, right? Actually, from 2014 to 2016, it was essentially flat. It was up in 17, it was up in 18. It was barely up in 19, and then we saw a big crater in 2020. But if you look at the curve, going back a decade, the curve right now for analyst expectations is much steeper between 21 and 22 than it was for any year other than post-COVID from 2020 to 2021 and from 2017 to 2018. Those are the only 2 years where we've seen a steeper percentage increase expectation in earnings than the one we're seeing right now between 2021 and 2022. So that's pretty good news. And then you go and look and say, what are analysts saying about where the market's going to be this year? And right now, the analyst expectation is that over the next 12 months, this is the average bottom-up estimate. Over the next 12 months, they're putting the S&P 500 index value at about 5,278. That's about 17% growth from where we are today over the next 12 months. Bluntly, that seems a little optimistic to me, given what we know is happening in the world today. But even if that number ends up being half of that, instead of 17% growth, we're at 8.5% growth, is there anyone listening to this right now that is going to complain about that? I don't think so. That would still be better than the long-term historical average of the S&P 500. So we do think that there is significantly positive news here, even though we've seen some negative revisions in Q1 earnings estimates. So this is a whole discussion about what we hope to see, right? In the end, none of what we really discussed here today is real data. COVID, BA2, still waiting to see if there's going to be a surge. Earnings, still waiting to see what those earnings numbers are going to look like. Economic reports, still waiting to see what those numbers are actually going to look like. So everything we've discussed today is a little bit of hopes and dreams. But the fun part is, over the next 2 weeks, we're going to start to get real data. It's coming soon, and we're going to be reporting it to you in this podcast. So look forward to that. In the meantime, have yourself a wonderful week. If you have any questions, or if there's anything we can do for you, or if you'd like more information on what we're discussing, please feel free to visit us on the website at www.insightwealthgroup.com or give us a call at 515-273-1333. We hope you have a great week, and we look forward to chatting with you again next week. Thanks so much. Take care.
Securities offered through Arete Wealth Management, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, NFA. Investment advisory services offered through Arete Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment firm.